FDA-approved tourniquet to reduce blood flow to an extremity during exercise. Blood flow-restricted rehabilitation allows significant strength gains with minimal stress to the involved joint. This is ideal for anyone that is unable to tolerate high-intensity workouts, including pre- and post-surgery. PT Associates of Emporia at 12th and Industrial, 620-208-7878.
All the latest sports news and reviews, actions and reactions, your questions and comments. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk on 14 KVOE, live and local.
And a good Saturday morning. It is time for Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We're driven by LongBineAuto.com. Steve Souter, Greg Ray, Tim Miller. All here today. What's up?
I know. So, one of us isn't on the road or doing something else.
So, on a morning after a rare Royals win.
Thank you, Baltimore Orioles. Excuse me.
And the American Legion got a win last night, yesterday. Got a loss also.
Yeah, beat Ottawa, lost to Pittsburgh. They'll play at 3 o'clock against Ottawa. If they win that one, they'll play Pittsburgh again, but they will have earned a spot in the state tournament to be played in Pittsburgh the last week of July. So all I need to do is win one game today.
Yeah, it's kind of that old story, like the guy trying to outrun the bear, and his buddy says, "You think you can outrun him?" He says, "I don't have to. I just got to outrun you." They don't have to beat Pittsburgh. They just got to beat Ottawa again.
Yes, and Emporia's a little down on the numbers. They don't have everybody available. Some are on vacation, and some of them are out injured. And it's
and they didn't start with a lot.
So. No, so they I think they're down to 9 players for today. But
whoa, wow!
But they'll find a way to get it done and see if they can't earn a trip back to state.
Yeah. Well, we have Jace McDown with us this morning. Good morning, Jace.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
I'm not sure how much introduction he needs. I know how much introduction he needs. He doesn't need hardly any at all. Of course, he's been a football player at Emporia State going on, what, your fifth year or sixth year?
Sixth, counting my redshirt year, so yeah.
So you redshirted for a year and then got it going. And most recently named first-team academic All-American. Is that the second time for that?
Yeah, I think I was second team last year, so yeah.
Yeah, with a two-point. I shouldn't say that. So who's the culprit? I mean, how could you? Why don't you have a 4.0?
I got an A- in chemistry 1.
A-?
Yeah, and it was a sliding or the plus-minus scale, and I got a 91.5.
Evidently, that professor wasn't a football fan. I mean, did you go in and say, "Do you know who I am?"
Or? Yeah, no, I mean, she made it really clear at the very beginning that, like, she's not a fan of, like, bumping grades. So I asked once, but it wasn't a big deal, I guess. At the time, I didn't realize it would come down to a 3.99 possibility. So
I had to do that my senior year, but I had to get an extra grade point in order to graduate. And if you think I'm making that up, you're wrong. So... Well, you're from Columbus, Kansas, right?
Yep, Columbus.
So I want to know the story. I've probably heard it before, but I've forgotten it, which I forget a lot of stuff these days. But how'd you get to Emporia State? Did the Pittsburgh State Gorillas weren't interested in you? Or?
I wouldn't say that. I just, I mean, I wasn't like the biggest. Where Columbus is a small school, I wasn't huge. I wasn't oversized. I wasn't like on a bunch of people's radars, I guess, being 5'10". So I just kind of went through my senior year, had a pretty good year, and at that point I just started getting recruited by some of them IAA schools, and Pittsburgh being one of them, but they didn't necessarily go out of their way to like make themselves jump off a page. I think they just assume everyone in that area, that staff at the time, just assume that everyone maybe is going to come to Pittsburgh if you're in the area, which my whole family graduated from Pitt State, my parents, my grandparents, my aunts, uncles, basically everyone. So I guess they thought the alumni would just. And I thought so, too. Before I went on my visit there, I fully anticipated going there. I grew up having season tickets, going to every game. So I fully anticipated going there. And I went on my visit, and I just didn't feel right, I guess. And so I wasn't out on them completely. And then I went on some other visits. And then finally, this was actually my second-to-last visit. And I came here, and just from the second I stepped on campus and in town, I just felt like it was home, and I just knew from then on that this was where I was going, and it wasn't anything against really anywhere else. It was just this felt like home. So And that's how I ended up here.
You're lucky if you're being recruited. That's if you want that to happen.
Yeah, I was when I came here. I was kind of nervous because nowhere had felt like that yet, and I was like, I don't know if this doesn't work. I don't know what's going to happen because I had one more visit left. I don't know where it was, but and then I was hoping this, but I was just hoping like because it was getting kind of close to signing day, and so I was hoping this was just it, and it was so. And I mean that was out to the players at the time.
Coach Higgins, of course, was involved. Was an assistant coach involved that you remember?
Actually, Coach Gibbon was my main recruiter, who's now our strength coach. He was a GA at the time. Then he went to North Dakota State. Now he came back as a strength coach. But he was like the main recruiter. But then obviously Coach Nardo was the linebackers coach. And then Coach Weezer actually called me a couple times. He was the strength coach at the time because Coach Gibbon just knew how much I was into like lifting and stuff. So he had Coach Weezer call me and talk to me about that kind of stuff too. So. Yeah, there was it was a group effort, and it was the players really, because I mean when I came on my visit, you go out on the town a little bit just to meet everyone, and there I saw, I mean it was just cool how like everyone was together, like it was 80 players all at the same spot hanging out, like it wasn't like cliques and groups of people, it was everyone, no matter where you're from, no matter what your background is, everyone together hanging out, and that's how it still is, and no matter what happens like record wise we've had good seasons when I've been here, we've had bad seasons, but I think that stayed the same, and that's what I'm kind of most proud of, and I hope this stays the same as I leave.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
You of course you're a COVID baby. I mean you're hanging around to play your last year.
Yeah.
you could have played that over a year ago.
Yep.
So how's that been? I mean that's got to be a little bit. Are you working on it? I know we've talked about it. You're a good student, so you've already graduated, I assume.
Yeah, I graduated. I could have graduated in last December, but then I kind of just strung everything out, and then I graduated in May, and now I'm starting my master's online. So
what's in the future for Jace McDown?
I actually came to Emporia State pre-physical therapy, and I basically finished it all. That's why I took chemistry and Chem 1 and all these harder classes, the science department. And I got through that, and I did some shadowing, and I just realized I wasn't necessarily like my passion, and I really want to like coach younger kids, and so I want to do like strength conditioning for either college at the collegiate level. So I'm gonna go get my master's somewhere, GA somewhere, and then start coaching. So that's what I really want to do.
And you're married, when I understand.
Yeah.
Been married about a year?
Yep. June 13th was a year, so.
So what does she do? Is she a student?
She's a nurse at Newman.
That's good.
Yeah.
She puts food on the table.
Yeah, keeping up's alive for now. Why still kind of just go play a kid's game, I guess.
Well, what about all these honors? Is that I mean, I could ask you, what does it mean to you? I hear people ask that all the time. That doesn't, but it is pretty cool to be recognized. And you, what was it, Greg? Male athlete of the year in the MIAA?
Last fall, I think it was the fall athlete, because they didn't have their Ken B. Jones Award because of COVID, and they picked athletes for each season.
Yeah,
and he was the fall of 2019 for his accomplishments.
That surprised you?
Yeah, kind of. I saw the list of other people, and I was just like, it's cool to be with them, and I didn't think anything of it. I don't know. It's hard to sit back in the moment still and, like, think about all of them, like the academic All-American even and all things like that. It's hard to realize what's going on in the moment because you're still trying to, like, my main goal was a conference championship as a team, like, and then see what we can do in the postseason. Like, that's my main goal since I've been here. In 2016, we made that postseason run. That was a blast, but I was a redshirt, so I just want to get back to doing that. And so that's my main goal right now. And once I think I'm done, I'll be able to reflect back on everything. But right now, it's hard to, in the moment, reflect on everything. But I'm super grateful for all of them, for sure.
How hard was last year? I mean, you guys got a practice, and you ended up playing two exhibition games, but I don't think you played neither one of them, did you?
In the spring? In the spring I didn't, no, because I had shoulder surgery in November, and I was kind of still – I was practicing a little bit. I just wasn't 100% yet, and I wasn't technically fully cleared, so I didn't play in those.
Well, a lot of guys didn't play.
Yeah, like I think the starters played a couple drives, so we just kind of – I don't know, it was – I think it was really good for the young guys, because now coming into this season, they've had a full – the freshmen have had a full year of actually getting to practice and play even a couple games. So the ones that are ready are actually going to get an opportunity to play, I think. So that'll be good for them. It's been really hard. But I'm like I've told people, like, even like when it first started, like, not many people get the opportunity to play 6 years of college football. So I'm not going to be too sad about it, because there's so many people out there that want the opportunity to play college football. So I'm not going to complain about getting an extra one. So
talk about the redshirt year. Did you know when you signed here that you would probably be redshirted?
Yeah, I mean, they kind of told us like 90 to 95% of the guys are going to redshirt, maybe one or two. I think two guys in my class maybe didn't redshirt, and that's kind of the case every year, one or two guys. But, I mean, I wasn't ready. Like, coming from a small school, just the scheme, I wasn't ready for the mental part of it. Physically, maybe, but it's still completely different. It's a completely different level, and I think you have to adapt. But, yeah, mainly, like, mentally, things are just so much different from high school. Even if guys that don't redshirt, they're still – I still wouldn't say they're fully ready. They just kind of get thrown in there because they have to, because we're short at a position, or we just need them, or they're just super talented and we need their talents on the field. But mentally, I think it's – so unless you're coming from a big 6A, like Texas high school, where it's basically college or something like that, then I don't think anyone's going to be mentally ready for college football and the speed of the game that fast. Oh, yeah. Way different. It's not high school.
Your redshirt year, how good a year did the Hornets have?
2016, we went to the second round of the playoffs. Beat Minnesota Duluth.
That helps, doesn't it?
Yeah, it was fun.
I mean, if you were redshirted and the team was terrible and you knew you could be helping,
yeah,
that would suck.
Yeah. Yeah, I wasn't complaining. I mean, we had a really good linebacking group. We had Cole Shankey, who has led the nation in linebacker interceptions. So, I mean, I wasn't complaining at all. It was fun.
So what about this year? What are you thinking? I will tell you, I was underwhelmed with the two exhibition games. Mm-hmm. I didn't think the Hornets played very well.
Mm-hmm.
So was that because there were so many people sitting out? And I know they played everybody.
Yeah.
At least the second game, for sure, they played everybody.
Yeah.
But how optimistic are you about this year's bunch?
I mean, it's hard to tell in the MIAA. It's really, like, if you look back at 2019, there's really no difference between 2019 and 2018, where we were 4-7 one year and 8-4 one year, except a couple bounces. Like, again, 2018, we had a couple good bounces against Hayes, against a couple other games that we won at Kearney. We won close games in 2018, whereas in 2019, we just lost those close games. And that comes down to, I don't know, at some point you have to take over and start winning those close games. But at some points, it's lucky breaks, it's lucky overthrows, it's lucky touchdowns. Like, at that, it's how the MIAA is. It's, you have to learn how to win those close games, and I think that's what it's going to come down to. Again, even in 2016, like we were talking about, we found a way to win those close games somehow. Like, at UCM, Shankey got an interception in the end zone with a minute left, and we went down and scored. Like, so it's just, it's crazy how in the MIAA everything is so close every week. So that's what it's going to come down to. If we can find a way to win those close games, in the games with UCM, Hayes, Pitt, all those close games that are close every single year, I think we're going to have a really good chance to win the MIAA or make
the ball to bounce your way, though.
At some points, hopefully we can just not put ourselves in those situations, which would be ideal, but you're going to get in those situations, and you have to know that you're going to get in those situations, and you're going to have – and it's getting the – I think it's really getting the young guys that are going to have to play, especially on offense, to understand that that's how the MIAA is. You're not going to walk into a game and even – I don't care who you're playing in MIAA. You're not going to walk into a game and it's just not going to be handed to you. It's a battle every week, and you have to – if they understand that and they understand they're in for a battle until the game's over, then I think we'll be just fine. The scrimmages were tough. We weren't necessarily preparing – obviously, it's competitive, so you're preparing. You want to win. That's not what the goal of the game was necessarily. The goal of the game was to get the younger guys reps, work on our – like on defense, I think we had three or four calls in, like, total. Offense, I don't know. I don't think they installed everything. So it was just – I think the second scrimmage, the offense did look a lot better. We still had a couple guys out. We're still super young on offense, so I think the more time that those guys get – the better. I think that, like, in 2019, we only had – I don't think we had a skilled position player that was an upperclassman in 2019. and we're still pretty young. I still we don't have a senior on offense at that skill position. So the more time they get through fall camp, I think they're just going to keep improving.
But I think we saw some youngsters that have some promise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That old P word, potential.
Yep.
And you have to realize that potential. You were talking about the MIAA and talking about the close games. And with the exception of maybe a couple of teams, you know every week you're going to have your A game or it's going to be a long afternoon.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Parity. The P word, the potential maybe, but parity in the MIAA, and you take the top two or three off the list, and the rest of them, it's a dogfight.
Yeah,
so,
every week.
So, well, you're prepared to coach somewhere. You got coach speak down pretty well.
Yeah, I know.
Well, he's learning from Coach Higgins.
So. Oh, boy. let's don't go there. You play some golf with Coach Higgins, though, don't you?
Yeah, we played in a tournament a couple back in the fall when we were kind of not practicing much. We played in a tournament with us and a few guys, and I've played a couple times with him. I played with Coach Lindsay a couple times. So, yeah, the coaches are always – they got a nice new schedule this summer, I think, which allows them to play a little more golf. But, hey, they get in there early and do their work, so –
Yeah, we're not putting anything on their heads, but they have, and they're fun to play with.
Yeah,
and they're competitive. So we're visiting with Jace McDowne, All-American linebacker for the Hornets, getting ready to play his final season at Emporia State. We'll visit more with Jace. We got some other things to talk about when we return, but we need to take a break. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk. Hey, we're driven by LongvineAuto.com.
At Longvine Auto Plaza in Emporia, quality products and great customer service are what we value most. We work to provide our friends and customers our very best. We know how important a clean and safe environment is for you to shop in. We want you to feel comfortable about your safety while you look for the newest from Chevy and Buick. Chevy is the only brand to earn J.D. Power Dependability Awards for cars, trucks, and SUVs for 5 years in a row. And Buick has the most complete lineup of luxury SUVs. Need maintenance or repairs on your current vehicle? Let one of our award-winning service professionals or our Total Collision Center get you back on the road. If customer service and quality products are what you value most, come to Longvine Auto Plaza. It's our total commitment to you that has made the difference for over 50 years. So come in today or visit us at longvineauto.com. Chevy. Find new roads.
Hey, Emporia State fans, help support the 15 athletic programs at Emporia State University by participating in the ESU Athletics Action and Golf Tournament. The action will be held at White Auditorium on Thursday, August the 19th. The social hour and silent auction begins at 6 with the live auction following at 7:30. Then on Friday, August the 20th, you can enjoy a round of golf at the Emporia Golf Course. Check-in begins at 8 a.m., tee-off set for 9 o'clock with a shotgun start. If you need more information or would like to register, go to emporia.joinme.org/ESU athletics or esuhornets.com. You can also call the ESU Athletic Office, 620-341-5350. Have a great time and support Emporia State Athletics with the auction on August the 19th at White Auditorium beginning at 6 o'clock and the golf tournament on Friday, August the 20th at the Emporia Golf Course. Proceeds benefit all 15 Emporia State Athletic programs. Stingers up!
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday Morning Sports Talk on 14 KVOE.
All right, welcome back. Saturday Morning Sports Talk. Steve, Tim, and Greg. And Jace McDowne is with us. We've been talking about him and the awards he's won and the season coming up for the Hornets. Chris Schmidt, and we had the story this morning. USA Today and Capital Journal go together on it and pick a state coach of the year?
Well, USA Today, nationwide, every state does a little recognition of athletes and coaches of the year, and coaches can nominate themselves or people can nominate coaches for that particular honor, and the readers will then vote on those that were nominated, and Chris Schmidt was voted the Kansas Coach of the Year, overall Coach of the Year for the state of Kansas. And they don't, I don't think they do individual sports, but they do an overall coach of the year. And Chris, of course, what a tremendous year he had for Opie, and he'll be the first one to give credit to the athletes, the players, as they won a state football championship, they won a state basketball championship, and beat some really good teams in accomplishing that particular feat. And he was voted the Coach of the Year, which is a well-deserved honor. I think you couldn't ask much more. The only thing he probably could have done is if he was coaching track and field, and Opie won a track and field championship. And they were right there in the running at the end of the year.
The baseball team lost in the regional finals, and yeah, they had a great year, but Chris, I visited with him yesterday, hoping to get him on here to talk to him for a little bit this morning. But as you wouldn't be surprised at all, he's coaching kids this morning. He said, "No, we're going to be on our way to Osage City. We got 7-on-7," and he said our first game's at 9:00. So he said, "I want to be there by 8:15." So he wasn't available to do that. He said he's really got things backed up because he and his wife and I don't know if they got kids or whatever, but they're headed to Colorado next week on vacation. And he said, "I got a lot of mowing to get done," which probably includes the football field.
I'm sure it does.
And our old buddy, former Gazette sports editor Brent Maycock, of course, who's with the Capital Journal now, he's one that encouraged Chris to turn his stuff in for this. And it's quite an award. I kidded him. Yeah, you only have to win state championship in two sports to be Coach of the Year. That he sets the standard pretty high, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
So, and he's been there. We were Jace asked us off air how long he's been there. I know he was an assistant coach for like 16 or 17 years, and now he's been the head coach for about the same amount. So over 30 years at Opie.
Yeah, I haven't known a time where he wasn't there. So.
And what a long run. I mean, what a tradition Opie High School has. I mean, you're retiring a basketball coach that won, what, 954 games or something like that? Jesse?
Yes.
And his assistant, Carolyn, who was on the bench with him for every one of those.
Yep.
And like you said, they did well. They do well in track and field. They've had some cross-country championships. So congratulations to Opie and to Chris. And
steep tradition.
So, yeah. And we can talk about a Royals win last night.
Yeah, we mentioned before the show started the Baltimore Orioles, I think, maybe what the doctor ordered. And Kansas City hit the ball well last night. They pitched well. And
they
got the second half off to a pretty good start.
Brady Singer, hopefully Duffy isn't hurt.
Right.
He took one off the shin, and he pitched four more innings, or finished four innings. But he was laboring a little bit at the end. Brady Singer goes tonight. So, boy, they need their starters to step up.
At some point in time, these young guys have got to obviously step up and pitch well. And you know they've put so much effort into the draft with these guys, and now it's a matter of developing them and seeing fruits of their labor. So we'll see.
Unfortunately for Baltimore, they looked awful.
Yeah,
but we were talking off air. I mean, kind of the same scenario earlier in the season, and I started to say Hornets. The Royals opened a series with Detroit, and they smoked them in the first game, and Detroit looked terrible and thought, boy, this is good. This is just what – and I think they got shut out the next game.
So, hey, it's baseball. I mean, a great one day, and, you know, could be a tough day the next. So, yeah. The whole thing get a little string going. Good, you know, Lord knows they've had strains going the other direction this year in terms of losing streaks with 11 game and maybe an 8 or 9 game streak, and so
they're fun to watch. I mean, if you're a Royals fan, they can be awful, but they can still be fun. But I've said on here and on Monday Morning Quarterback, Nicky Lopez is far and away my favorite Royal. I mean, he's not their best player, but I'll tell you, he's their hardest worker, I think. Yeah. And he had a great night last night, 4 RBIs, 2 key hits. And he's yet to make an error.
Yeah, career high for him in RBIs. He's never had a 4 RBI game before.
Yeah. Well, he was a good hitter in the minors. Yeah.
Everyone keeps, for some reason, everyone just tries to, you know, want him out of the lineup. But the guy's earning everything he's getting.
So if the rest of them were producing like he is, they'd be in the pennant race.
Yeah.
So, pretty interesting.
And I think my part of, I've talked with Sean about this, part of my feeling is, the Royals need to get guys who are in set positions. I know you like to move them around so they can play, so they get used to playing different positions. But when you look at the good teams, you have guys who are set in their position. You have a starting shortstop who's going to start in that position almost every game. You have a guy at second base who's going to start every game. You have a guy at first base who's going to start every game. You have a guy at third base who's going to start every game. The Royals really don't have that. Even in the outfield, the only one who has a set starting position on a game-in, game-out basis, you know pretty much where he's going to start, and that's Salvador Perez. Yeah. And, you know, it'll be between catching and he might start a game or so at first base, but you know Salvador Perez is your starting catcher. You don't know who your starting third baseman is. You don't know who your starting second baseman is. Carlos Santana is going to be your starting first baseman. In center field, it's going to be, of course, Michael A. Taylor. And then left field, when he's healthy, Andrew Benintendi. But for a lot of the positions, you don't know who your starter is going to be, and I think that's been part of their issues, in my opinion.
Boy, speaking of Santana, well, he had an awful game last night. Struck out twice on pitches that weren't even close, and that's not his game. I don't know what was wrong. He and his wife must have had a fight.
Well, because he's so disciplined at the plate. I mean, yeah, walks
it wasn't
a lot.
Last night.
No, he was not. Not
and
even
he
close.
Made a blunder in the field.
Yeah,
and which was a tough play. I don't know if they gave him an error or not, but it was a play he would normally make. Let's put it that way. But yeah. It will be interesting the rest of the season. The Royals at home again tonight against Baltimore, tomorrow afternoon against Baltimore. Then they've got a day off, and then they go on the road. But they're back home then, and they've got a lot of home games coming up.
They go to Milwaukee for two games, and then they're back home for a series with Detroit.
You know, and you ought to be worried about Milwaukee because they're one of the better teams in the National League. But the Royals have handled them. They swept them when they played them in Kansas City, so the Royals seem to actually play better against good teams.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. But they're still our Royals, guys. So,
whether we like it or not.
Well, and you just hope that their second half, their post-All-Star game schedule was as good as it was bad before the All-Star break.
We asked Jace before, and he's not a baseball fan or doesn't follow the Royals, so we haven't included him in this discussion. But I can include you in what we're going to talk about next, which is golf, and of course the Open or the British Open, depending on which moniker you like to use. And you said you and your brother used to get up 2-3 o'clock in the morning and watch it.
Yeah,
you still do that?
Yeah, in my house that I lived in. In college, before I moved out, I lived with 5 football guys, and we would wake up. Even before weights, we'd have weights at 6, and when British Open week on Thursday, we'd wake up at 2. Whenever the first good tee time was, like a big name guy was, like probably be around 2 or 3 a.m., that's when we'd start. So, yeah, I probably wasn't smart at the time looking back, because then we'd have to run and then work all day. So it was a pretty grinder of a weekend after that point.
But you were young and
has
good memories.
Who's your favorite?
Jordan Spieth's always been my favorite since probably when he won the John Deere back in, I don't know, 2013 maybe. So
you and Hudson commiserate on this?
Yeah, we do. And then obviously Brooks is a Brooks fan, and so we always go at it with him. I don't mind Brooks, but yeah, so me and Hudson go at Brooks pretty hard about that.
Greg, you had the opportunity yesterday to speak with 3 of the 4 kids, young men that are going to play in the Kansas Amateur Qualifier. I mean, they've already qualified once. Now they have an opportunity to get into the match play, but to do that, they got to be in the top 64. And that all gets underway Tuesday in Wichita.
Yeah, it's a Kansas Amateur Match Play. And as you mentioned, the first 2 days are stroke play. Then it becomes match play. And Caden Massey, Brooke Souter, Gentry Sheevy, Caleb Schmid will all be playing in that tournament at Crestview Country Club. The North Course is where they'll be playing. And they'll have a practice round Monday. And then they'll start play with stroke play on Tuesday. And it goes through the 25th when match play wraps up. But, talked with Caden, Gentry, and Caleb yesterday. And Gentry says for him, it's all I need to do is survive stroke play, get qualified for match play, and then it's anything can happen.
Well, and he qualified last year. He got the match play,
well,
didn't he?
Yeah, and the difference for him this year is last year he didn't have to qualify. He was an automatic qualifier. He didn't have to qualify. I can't remember if he won one of the junior tournaments or something like that.
Didn't have to qualify for match play?
Or qualify for the amateur.
Yeah.
And this year he did.
But he got to where they are now without
Yeah, without qualifying. He didn't have to go through the qualifying process for the tournament. But he says when you get into it, if you know you have to play well, but you may not have to play your best as long as you get in the top 64. You get to match play, and then you take care of business.
Well, the match play is a completely different animal than stroke play. I mean, stroke play, you got to just keep from making a mistake, and you want to be consistent. Match play, you want to get hot. You want to make birdies and not get too upset if you lose a hole. And so it'll be different. I mean, I know for Caden and Brooks, I don't know that they've ever been involved in match play. So what did you, was there any gems from any of the other guys? And I know your interview, you'll have that on the air Monday.
We'll have those on Monday as they get ready to play in that tournament. Caden, this is his first tournament, so he's just kind of feeling his way through, you know, this particular tournament. He's pretty excited about where he's at and getting the opportunity. And Caleb feels like he's playing some good golf right now. And boy, I hadn't seen Caleb in a while, and boy, he has shot up, and yeah, he's a completely different-looking athlete right now. He's at Rockhurst and had a pretty good freshman year at Rockhurst, and he's looking forward to playing in the amateur.
I was sharing with you, and I've shared with Caleb. He looks, to me, is a replica of J.L. Lewis when he was that age, when he was hanging around the country club, and of course, JL will go into the Kansas Golf Foundation's Hall of Fame, be inducted on the 28th on a Saturday night, and tickets are available to that. I think we have a link on our website. But it'll be interesting to follow those kids, and hopefully all of them make it into match play, but it's tough. I think there's 144 that are going to play stroke play. And only the top 64 get a go, and it does get competitive. But for Caden and Brooks, the good news is they're playing at Crestview North. It's where they played their regional, and they both played pretty well in the regionals.
So hopefully that'll carry over. And Caden, what a busy end of the month of July he'll have. He'll have the Kansas Amateur, and then the 26th and 27th he'll be playing in the Kansas Junior Tour championship tournament in Topeka. Caden, along with Hudson Souter and Avery and Olivia Eckert, will be playing in that tournament.
Jace, you don't suppose Hudson's holding that over Brooks' head? Brooks did not qualify for that. Competition level in the 16 and under, whatever category Brooks plays in, is pretty tough. Brooks has played pretty well, but you got to play good enough to make the cut, and he didn't make it, but Hudson did. So.
Oh, man. You have to looking at the points, if you don't win, if you win at one of the tournaments, you're automatically in that championship. If not, you have to finish in the top 30 points-wise, and to earn a point, you have to finish in the top five. And some tournaments, just a big challenge. And, you know, if I'm Brooks, I will say, yeah, I missed that, but I'm playing in the Kansas Amateur.
Yeah. Well, you don't need to worry about Brooks' confidence. Well, anyway, at one point, he shot 72, 71, 74, and he said, I got 3 points. So it's tough, but, boy, the competition is great. And, of course, we've got junior golf exploding in the Emporia area. Marcus has those PGA League tournaments, and they've got 100 kids. They've got 5 teams, Osage City being one of them, and 2 or 3 from the country club, and or maybe vice versa. Maybe it's from out south. But anyway, the rest of the teams are Emporia teams. And they've had a great summer, and they're not quite done yet. So yeah. That's good.
And speaking of Caleb and Gentry, this past Monday, they played in a U.S. amateur qualifier, trying to qualify for that. It was at Blue Hills in Kansas City, Missouri. Unfortunately, they only took 2 golfers from that particular qualifier to the U.S. Amateur Open, and Caleb and Gentry didn't finish in there. Chase Coble also played in that particular tournament, and they failed to qualify. But, you know, it's kind of fun watching these young golfers playing in the higher-level tournaments, and the only thing it's going to do is help make them better. As
you mentioned, Caleb's at Rutgers. Of course, Gentry's at Nebraska, which won't be lost on you if you see Gentry, because he has ends all over his body. I don't think he has any clothes. I asked him the other day if his underwear had an end on it. Nebraska's put him in a lot of good stuff. Back to the British Open. Jace, who's your favorite? Oh, you said Spieth.
Who's the favorite to win?
Yeah.
Well, Spieth is looking good right now, so I'm still going to stick with him.
They're about to tee off. What time you had that?
During the 9 o'clock hours when they'll tee off.
When the leaders, and Spieth isn't in the leader group, he's in the second group. Yeah. But he had it at 10 under for a while yesterday, and let it get back. But he'd be a popular winner. Although Ushuaïa, hard to root against him. Yeah. That guy, talk about a guy that just is there every week. Mm-hmm. Like they said, we know he can lead, we just don't know if he can win.
Yeah. Yesterday he looked. I was watching for a while in the afternoon, and he could make no wrong. Like, it was every shot to 10 foot, and half the time he'd make it for birdie.
Did he get to 13 at one time? He ended up 11.
I know he got was to 12. At 12. Yeah, for sure. I saw 12, and then he made one bogey. So, but he had a streak of like 30 some holes and no bogey free for a while. So,
just before I left to come to the station this morning, I saw Justin Thomas miss about a 6 foot par putt. And it was about a foot past, and he just walked up and raked it and missed it. So he ended up with a double bogey. Turned a bogey into a double bogey. Yeah. And it's pretty amazing stuff.
So did the golf bug bite you in college, or had you played previous?
I played before, but I would say, the bug probably bit me. Like, freshman year, me and one of my good buddies that I lived with, he was pretty big into golf, and we just started playing. And that first summer I played – probably way too much. I ran out of money halfway through the summer.
Aaron Harder likes to point out that you swing pretty hard.
Yeah, I mean, I got that's one of my advantages. I'm decently big compared to golfers, so I guess I got to try and do that.
Take advantage, huh? All right, this is Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We need to get our second break in. We're down to less than 10 minutes to go as we visit with Jace McDown, All-American football player from Emporia State. We got a few more things to talk about when we return, so we'll do that after this. You're listening to KVOE. We're live and we're local.
At Longvine Auto Plaza in Emporia, quality products and great customer service are what we value most. We work to provide our friends and customers our very best. We know how important a clean and safe environment is for you to shop in. We want you to feel comfortable about your safety while you look for the newest from Chevy and Buick. Chevy is the only brand to earn J.D. Power Dependability Awards for cars, trucks, and SUVs for 5 years in a row. And Buick has the most complete lineup of luxury SUVs. Need maintenance or repairs on your current vehicle? Let one of our award-winning service professionals or our Total Collision Center get you back on the road. If customer service and quality products are what you value most, come to Longvine Auto Plaza. It's our total commitment to you that has made the difference for over 50 years. So come in today or visit us at longvineauto.com. Chevy, find new roads.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday Morning Sports Talk on 14 KVOE.
Where you said?
Yeah.
And welcome back, Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We're visiting with Jace offline about wrestling. Madeline Griffin, an Emporia High female wrestler, is on the Kansas team in the Fargo Nationals, which if you're a wrestling fan or wrestler or whatever, for kids, going to Fargo is big stuff. Just going is big stuff, isn't it, Jace?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I never, like I said, I stopped wrestling when I was 14, after 15, so Fargo's kind of like a cadet and junior, but I never went. But yeah, hearing about it, it's like we had a really good wrestler, CJ Napier, when I was younger, and he went and won Fargo, and that was like talk of the town. It was big.
Yeah, and it's freestyle, so that'll be different for Madeline.
Yeah, the girls will wrestle freestyle. The boys, they can wrestle freestyle or Greco-Roman are the two categories that they can wrestle in, and junior and then 16 and under nationals that are going on this particular weekend.
I like Jason's story about his wrestling career.
State champion
as a sophomore and quit.
Accomplished what you needed to accomplish.
Yeah.
So, well, sometimes other things call. I don't think you've slacked.
Yeah.
You've done pretty well. So, Tim, boy, things aren't looking good in Tokyo.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I mean, there's like the whole, I guess, what, Japan's a country, 2% vaccination rates there. And I don't know. It's going to be pretty dicey, I think, the whole time the Olympics are going on. And
I'm going to give you a news story.
This is crazy.
A news story I saw on Facebook this morning. And it says, Olympics first COVID case in the athletics village. In the athletes' village, it puts pressure on the IOC. It says, Tokyo Olympics organizers on Saturday reported the first case of COVID-19 at the athletes' village, along with 14 other new cases connected to the games that begin next week, raising fresh doubts over promises of safe and secure event.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, obviously there's going to be more. I mean, it's not going to stop there. And you just wonder if the game's even going to take
place. It was a worker, wasn't it?
I think it was.
It was.
But you certainly wonder, I mean, gosh, can they make it through this whole Olympic Games? I mean, you certainly have to have some doubts as to whether they can pull it off.
Well,
I don't know. We'll see.
The surprising part to me is that they're only 2% vaccinated. I would have thought that Japan would be at the forefront of making sure that their citizenry
is. Because they were wearing masks. Of course, they've worn masks in Japan for other things for a long time. So it's hard to explain. This whole COVID thing is hard to explain. Explain to me why Lyon County is only 48% vaccinated.
Yep.
So, I mean, if you're vaccinated, you agree with it. If you're not, you don't want to be confused with facts.
Yeah.
So that's probably enough said about that. What will you watch at the Olympics, Jace? What's of interest to you? A little bit of everything?
Yeah, like I said, I love watching wrestling. They don't show, that's going to be hard to watch. They put that at weird times, I remember. Track, obviously, is probably my favorite thing to watch. Swimming, those are the main ones. Gymnastics, obviously. Those are the big three, I feel like. What are the other big ones that...
I don't know. What are they have some weird stuff.
Yeah, they got weird stuff.
Rock climbing or something like that.
So. Yeah, that'll have me riveted.
Yeah. Well, and both the American basketball teams have been beaten.
Yeah.
The men's team been beat twice.
Yeah.
And the women got beat yesterday by Australia.
Well, and now, you know, COVID's hit the basketball team, too.
Yeah.
I mean, and then a couple guys that won't play.
So.
And then Kevin Love decides he's not going to play, so they lose another guy. And
they're saying that's positive, though, because they said he wasn't going to be 100%, so for him to take himself out made sense. It isn't like we don't have basketball players to choose from.
Yeah, he would think they'd be able to fill those spots.
Well, they were hoping easily that maybe Tyronn Lue would step in and start playing, and then he's decided not to. And then, but of course,
he's a coach, isn't he?
No, not Tyronn Lue, but the Atlanta Hawk.
I was going to say, Trae Young.
Trae Young. That's,
yeah, I heard a debate last night about whether he would be a good addition or not, whether he's a team player or not. But I mean, I would think for Trae Young to get acclimated into the group, it would take a little bit of time. But
well, they've got three guys who are still playing in the NBA Finals who they're hoping that will help make a difference.
Speaking of that, I guess we could talk about that. Now, do you follow that, Jace?
Yeah, not like football.
Are you a Suns or a Bucks fan?
I wouldn't say I'm a fan of either, but I think the Suns are going to win the title. So.
You really?
Yeah.
Hey, Chris Paul's got to take better care of the basketball?
Yeah. Yeah, I just think I think they're the more complete team, I guess. I don't know. I don't know if Giannis is a big-time player yet. in the big-time moment.
Yeah, in the main moments. Well, series all tied up, 2-2.
Game 5 tonight,
yeah.
And we're down to the point now where they take 2 days off between games, and they're in back in Phoenix tonight, right?
Yes.
And then they go back to Milwaukee, back and forth, right?
Yeah. Phoenix, Milwaukee, Phoenix, if it goes 7, which I think it probably will if I had to predict, I guess.
I'll tell you who the pressure's on in those games, the officials.
Yeah.
Because it is tough to referee, and it's –
especially Chris Paul. He flops a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, he does. He does. I hope the Suns win it because basically of Chris Paul. I mean, I'd like to see him get a title before he's done. So,
okay.
That's what I'm rooting for.
Legion Baseball at 3 today?
3 today, Emporia, Ottawa, And the winner of that game will play Pittsburgh approximately 5 o'clock. But whoever plays in that last game, both of them are headed to state. Pittsburgh, by virtue of the fact they'll be hosting the state tournament, and whoever finishes second, since two teams go on to state, there are only 9 teams playing AAA State Legion Baseball. Wow. in the region. And this year for the state tournament, they'll have two pools, one pool for AAA and one pool for AA, and then the two winners of each pool will play for the overall championship and the right to go on to the regional tournament.
What about baseball, Jay? Did you ever play baseball?
Quit when I was 9 to
What's
wrestle.
That?
To wrestle, I quit when I was 9 to wrestle in the summer. So, yeah.
You've been all over the place.
Yeah.
You guys start August the 10th,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's when camp starts.
Are you looking forward to it?
Yeah, I'm just ready. Like I said, I set out in the spring, so I haven't actually tackled anyone since probably October. So I'm ready, and not in a real game since 2 Novembers ago. So
feels like an eternity, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, good grief.
You going to remember how to tackle somebody?
I'm worried about it.
It's a little bit – how would I know?
Are you going to say it's like riding a bike?
The only guy I ever tackled was by the face mask.
Did they flag you for it?
So you damn right. It actually wasn't a face mask. When I was a junior – and we were playing Abilene, and they had a wide receiver that ended up playing college football, and he was beating us like a drum. And the coach – I was quarterback. I didn't play defense. And the coach said, Souter, get in there, and don't let McKee get deep. And so when he got close enough to me, I just grabbed on, pretty much drug him to the ground, got a flag, and the coach said, that isn't exactly what I had in mind. And I said, well, that's about the only option I had.
So, he didn't go deep.
I didn't play any more defense either. So, well, good luck.
Thank
Best
you.
Of yep. luck.
Thank you guys for having me on.
Yeah, it's good to have you. You're a great story. Academic All-American, a real-time All-American, and hopefully lead the Hornets to a lot of victories this year. It'll just be great to get back and get a play. I bet you just can't wait.
Yeah,
so.
It's going to be fun.
Okay. Well, you guys have a good weekend.
You do the same.
Everybody stay safe, and we'll talk with you next week. This has been Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We're driven by LongBondAuto.com.
FM, K245BQ, Emporia, AM 1400 KVOE, Emporia.
From ABC News, I'm Brian.